The RVA Education Compact came from LeVar Stoney's campaign platform to be the education mayor. Thad Williamson is senior policy advisor for Opportunity.
He, in response to his own priorities and also having observed the community, recognized that we've had year after year conflict about education and more conflict than progress. And part of that is just the fact that we are a city with a lot of pretty profound needs and a limited, you know, tax base to address those needs. But also that the way our local government is structured encourages in the past sort of more of a combative attitude rather than a collaborative attitude.
The compact is an agreement between the mayor, city council, and the school board to work together to address education and poverty. The approach is guided by the whole child concept.
What we are observing is that in a different context, slightly different, you know, Police Chief Durham says this all the time, and Superintendent Bedden in his tenure has said this consistently, that you can't fairly evaluate education in Richmond without being cognizant of the deep poverty. That said, we're also saying that we cannot use poverty as an excuse for accepting, you know, substandard achievement. We have to understand poverty as a specific barrier that we can understand, we can try to reduce, but we can try to unpack and mitigate some of the ways it impacts child development and learning. So what the whole child is saying is we have to not expect teachers to solve everything. And while the community is falling apart, the schools will thrive when the community thrives. They go hand in hand. And whether it's the early childhood piece, which up to age 3 or 4, the schools are not responsible for, whether it's after school time, which they're not responsible for, whether it's connecting to jobs, that's a bigger role than just the schools. All those pieces we have to pay attention to. But also, you know, the fundamental baseline is, you know, the biggest teacher in anyone's life are the parents. Parents are struggling. Kids are going to have a hard time. And so anything we can do for our parents, especially our young parents, to get them on a better pathway to meet their aspirations, that's the way we're going to help kids and make the job of teachers easier.
The agreement is not a strategic plan for RPS or one for reducing poverty. Advocates say it won't solve all the problems, but it is a promising path forward. It includes 3 shared commitments. One is to institutionalize collaboration, like holding quarterly meetings between council and the board, and setting up a children's cabinet to more effectively provide wraparound services. Another is to set transformational goals for improving academic achievement and reducing family poverty.
And the third commitment is to find, develop, and execute a shared funding strategy. Because we understand to really move the needle in a city like Richmond, where 40% of the children are in poverty, you have to make some specific investments. They have to be thoughtful. They have to be well executed. And it's not going to be cheap. And really, that's really, I think, where the rubber hits the road is, you know, we have the discussion every year about funding and dollars and cents. And of course, that's extremely important. But part of the reason why the process has been more contentious and productive is there hasn't even been deep shared agreement about what the goals are or deep shared understanding of what Richmond Public Schools does that's important and what the City of Richmond does through its various agencies that impact kids' lives that's important. We want City Council to be very informed about what school board is doing and why. We want school board to be very informed, appreciative of what the City of Richmond is doing and why.
So are these shared goals outlined already, or is that part of the process of building the compact?
Sure, and that's a great question. So in broad terms, the draft compact proposes that we want the City of Richmond academic achievement level to match and eventually exceed, you know, the Commonwealth of Virginia. And in most areas right now, there's a pretty large gap. So that would be a pretty big change to accomplish that. Likewise, what we're calling the whole child side, we want to put in place for as many children as possible those support services that offset some of the impacts of trauma and instability in children's lives. But we want to do more than that. We want to reduce the instability and the trauma itself by reducing poverty. So that's where the community wealth building strategy that Mayor Stoney has embraced and is seeking to expand comes in to be really, really important, because it'll be a whole lot easier to achieve our academic goals if we have falling poverty as opposed to constant poverty. The two things really do go hand in hand. Now, in terms of specific metrics, certainly we have, you know, we want to track how well kids are doing all the way from early childhood through graduation and different measurement points along the way. We want to track the quality of the teaching staff and the quality of the facilities, all those things. And on the city side, we want to track engagement and availability of after-school programs, quality of those programs, early childhood, connections to college and career, and the workforce development piece. We want to look at all those things. But the specifics of those will be left, the details will be left to the responsible agencies.
What is the Education Compact team? Who will be on it? How will they be found and selected?
The initial draft compact came through some initial discussions that involved two school board members, Elizabeth Dorr and Nadine Marsh Carter, two city council members, Michael Jones and Dr. Cynthia Newbill, the city's, myself representing the mayor's office, Lincoln Saunders, the chief of staff, Selena Cuffey Glenn, the chief administrative officer, and then on the RPS administration side, you know, the superintendent, Dana Bedden, and his chief of staff, Candace Hunter, were the people who were there in most or all of the discussions. And that was so we could have a safe space to sort of talk some things through before we could present something to the public. And as we go into the implementation, part of the collaborative practices that we are envisioning is that there will be what we call an education compact team that has somewhat similar structure. We want school board representation. We want council representation. We need schools administration. We need city administration. But we also need community representation. We need parents. We need teachers. We need students. Other community organizations, possibly the Commonwealth of Virginia, which has been very, very supportive of this, so that we can have a deep, rich, and diverse perspective. But what that team is going to do is kind of take a deep dive into some of the really hard policy challenges. Like, okay, we understand we need to improve facilities. How are we going to pay for that? And can we come with a strategy for that everybody can get on the same page with, so that when it comes time to propose something to council or a school board, neither the mayor or a city council person or anyone else is trying to do it on their own. You're going through a process where questions have already been asked, you know, proposals have already been vetted, and you understand what's likely to build consensus and what's not. You know, the selection of the initial compact team, you know, will be, I think initially there will be agreement on sort of the final composition, and then I think it will be, frankly, you know, the mayor, city council leadership, and school board leadership working together, because we want to have a diverse group, but we also want to have people who are there for the right reason and ready to work, because it's a huge responsibility.
Williamson joined city councilors and school board members at about a dozen community meetings on the RVA Education Compact. In the 7th District, school board member Nadine Marsh Carter responded to questions about the role of the superintendent following the announcement that Dr. Dana Bedden's contract was ending in June.
The school board, who's elected and accountable to our constituents, really set the policy, and that the school board, the superintendent, is the administrator who enacts that. So certainly we would want that superintendent's feedback, but it's really the board's goal to set policy and to make sure that we have the leader in place who can make that policy happen. And that's how I run my organization, Robert. It's a nonprofit. I am the expert, right? But I'm looking to the board to set the policy, and then I tell them how we're going to make that happen. And that's our vision, is to really have a shared vision, a shared strategic goal, and have us come together and make that happen.
Residents also brought up past plans costing millions of dollars that were never implemented. Councilmember Cynthia Newbill and Marsh Carter shared the frustration.
But we've never had an instance where the folks are at school board, council, administration, and then with a commitment to bringing the rest of the partners to the table.
And I can tell you, just again, knowing my peers, that there is that sense of urgency. We have got to make things happen. Because what's happened is the fact that none of these plans have been enacted is why the schools are where they are. Let's be real. We haven't done what we needed to do. So the only way to really fix it is to do something about it.
Thad Williamson says next steps include creating new resolutions that provide more details on moving the Education Compact forward and incorporate feedback from the public.
And then that will sort of give us the blessing, so to speak, to get to work and build those collaborative teams and start this process of quarterly meetings between school board and council, create this Education Compact team, create what we call a children's cabinet, in which the core agencies on the school side and the city side really work together and get to know one another in a much deeper way than has been the past. we would like to see all that go forward starting in June. And then through the work of the compact team, work through some of the tough policy issues so that when it comes time to budget next year, we can have some pretty robust proposals for long-term funding on both the operating side and the facility side to allow schools to improve, but also to fund, you know, the whole child program, whether it's on employment, workforce development, community wealth building, you know, early childhood education, after school program. We have to pay attention to that as well as the RPS budget. And then, you know, as we move through the budget next year and hopefully in a position to fund some investments on all sides of it, then we have to look to accountability, you know, and did each of the agencies do what they said they were going to do? And if they did, how successful was it? Did it, you know, match, exceed, or fall short of what was expected? And, you know, and whatever the case is, let's understand what happened so we can either refine the strategy or change course. So, and I think, to be honest, you know, the process in some ways will get tougher and tougher because it's creating more accountability for everybody in the system. But I think that's what the residents want.
Williamson says elected officials are on a timeline to implement the plan. When the public asks when they should expect results, he says by 2020. For Learning Curve, I'm Catherine Kamp, WCVE News.